It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Well, Parkinson's disease, typically you think of it as an old person's disease, or men, even more so than women, but it can affect younger people. And my guest is Bill Smallfelt, and he was diagnosed with Parkinson's at the age of 45. Now, Bill, welcome to the show. You had the brain stimulation. You had deep brain stimulation surgery. As I understand it, you were awake for this. Tell us a little bit about how you were picked as a candidate. What makes somebody an acceptable candidate for the surgery or not?
Well, ordinarily, deep brain stimulation is reserved for folks who are in stage 3 of the Hoehn-Yahr staging for Parkinson's disease, the Uniform Parkinson's Disease Rating Scale. But I took part in a clinical trial of deep brain stimulation in earlier Parkinson's disease to see whether or not those of us who have the condition can, earlier in the progression of Parkinson's disease, can A, survive the operation, and B, tolerate the implantation of the devices and the neural stimulators. As a matter of fact, we're coming up on my 6th anniversary.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, tell us a little bit about, you know, the deep brain stimulation, and where they're implanting electrodes into the specific part of your brain, and then those electrodes are connected to the generator that's implanted in your chest. So explain a little bit about this surgery. It's a long process, right? Were you asleep or awake?
I was awake for the whole thing. It was about a 7.5-hour operation. They make you really, really comfortable. It's like, you know, you're sitting in a lawn chair at the beach, except that you got 2 holes drilled in your head. They numb up your scalp real good, which, by the way, was the worst part of the whole operation for me, was having these needles stuck in my head so they could, you know, anesthetize my scalp. Everything else was just a piece of cake. I'd lay there and follow directions, you know. They'd move my arm. They'd listen first with these testing probes to see if they were in the subthalamic nucleus on either side of the brain, because when the neurons misfire, they give off a noise kind of like if you think of AM radio near a thunderstorm. It gives off a crackling, staticky kind of noise when these cells are misfiring. So that's pretty much how they know that the implants are where they're supposed to be. We went through the testing probes, and then they found out which wattage worked best for me. Yeah, they want to find that area between side effects and good effect. You know, so they crank it up too far, and you can't talk. They crank it up not enough. You still got tremor. You still got all your symptoms. They find that right frequency, and they're happy with it.
Now, are you also on adjunct medication, levodopa? You're, you know, on medication, and as a result, this surgery was the second kind of line of defense that they were trying with you?
Well, the surgery, again, was not intended to give me any benefit at all. It was to see if I'd live through it. Again, this is a clinical trial, you know, that I was taking part in. Deep brain stimulation for a regular person is for when the levodopa doesn't work so well anymore, which everybody reaches that point with Parkinson's disease.
So, okay, for typical people, now you were part of this clinical trial, and obviously you survived the surgery, which is a very good thing.
I'm one of 15 people in the United States who
took
part in this clinical trial at Vanderbilt University.
Now, so have you noticed any results from it? I know it was to see if you would survive it, to see how it worked, being awake. I mean, is it helping any of your symptoms, any of your tremors? Are you able to control any of these things?
Well, I never really had a big problem with tremor. My biggest problem was with stiffness. And yeah, it helps with that. There are parts of Parkinson's disease that dopamine, levodopa cannot help. And that would include balance and gait and that sort of thing. I still have big difficulties with those. But all the areas that dopamine can help a Parkinson's patient, the deep brain stimulation seems to be doing its job for me.
Okay, now do most people, so you were awake for the surgery. And the whole entire thing, which for 7.5 hours, I don't care how comfortable it was, that's a long time to be sitting there knowing that you can't move and somebody's inside your head. But okay, that aside, so then you wrote on a book, Bill, and tell us a little bit about what prompted that.
I wanted people to know about Parkinson's disease. For me, it was almost like a karma sort of situation, because when I was a kid, I start out the book with a story about a farmer I used to work for in North Dakota who had Parkinson's disease and how we used to mock him. Well, I wanted everybody to know that this is not just something that affects old people. It's something that is affecting more and more people at younger and younger ages. There's 1.5 million people in America with Parkinson's disease and 50,000 new diagnoses every year. You need to be involved in clinical research. You need to be involved in donating to organizations like the National Parkinson Foundation or the Michael J. Fox Foundation, any one of these great organizations that's looking to find a cure for this thing. They don't even know what really causes the dopamine cells to die yet. That's how far off we are.
And they don't even really know what really causes, what causes Parkinson's. And is there a genetic component? Did anyone in your family have it?
No.
No. So.
As a matter of fact, most recently, I donated, as part of the clinical trial, I donated a saliva swab to see if I have any of the genetic markers that might indicate that I carry a gene that got set off by some environmental factor. There's just so much more to be learned about this, and people just need to be aware of it. And stop thinking of Parkinson's as something that's just affecting old people. You could be the next one to be dropping something with your hands and thinking that you're just getting clumsier.
Well, absolutely, and these are all really, I think, very important signs to look for. And, you know, the risk factors would be, you know, obviously, as we're saying, young people can develop it, and more young people can develop it. Men, more likely than women, although I would suspect that that's probably changing as well as the environmental factors come into play.
Yeah, last I saw, women are starting to sneak up on men, but it's still predominantly men.
It's still predominantly men, but so look for these symptoms, and now tell people where they can find your book, Bill.
They can find my book at Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or any of the major online booksellers. It's called Put On Your Parky Face, and the title comes from that Parkinson's masking effect, where a person who has Parkinson's disease, it's hard to tell what that person is thinking because your expression tends to be blank. So that's why I say put on your parky face and get to work.
Well, that's a great name, and I really applaud your positive attitude and your willingness and desire to help other people in a similar situation deal with not only the emotional but some of the treatment aspects and options that are out there. So the book is called Put On Your Parky Face. You can get that at Amazon or anywhere else. And remember, you can listen to this show, share it with your friends. You can listen anytime, on demand or on the go. We have all sorts of shows that we do here at Radio MD where we explore personal journeys and experiences of patients as well as the doctors that treat them and some of the very hopeful situations that can come out of them. You can also like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD. This is Melanie Cole, and why don't you scroll around and learn something with us? Have a great day and stay well.